up in his own sweet song. Wake up, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers.
Hello and welcome to the Red Robin podcast, which is powered by Budget Tyres Auto Centre and 360 Chartered Accountants. I'm Chris Johnson, and this week I'm delighted to be joined by Mark Lever, Dan Crowther and James Perlin. The rampant Robins are rocking, but injuries to key players are threatening to derail our quest for playoff success. Is Wigan a free hit, or should we have more faith in Rovers bringing the 2 points back to Craven Park? Gentlemen, it's fantastic to be speaking to you, especially on the back of an away victory, something we just spoke about. We haven't done it since Salford back in March. Mark, you haven't been on the podcast for a while. Good evening, mate.
Hi, mate. All right, lads.
Yeah, good. Mark, you was on one of the Rovers fun buses on the way to Wire on Friday night. What was the feeling on the bus? Was it more of a journey of hope, or was it more of a journey of expectation?
Yeah, I think it was a journey of hope, if in all honesty, Chris. But as we said just briefly before the podcast begun, that I think there's a bit of fight in this dog, and they all seem to buy into it. Quite a bit of depth. Young kids come in and pull their hand up, and people play during mid-game, during like a hooker playing at second row. And it's just, it doesn't work all the time, obviously, but it's nice to have that belief and look around and a bit of fight. Which that's all we ask for at the end of the day as Rovers supporters, is they give it everything. And I think certainly that last Friday and previously the Sunday before, when it was horrible game against Wakefield in stifling heat, but you couldn't fault their effort. Maybe not much quality out there, but I think I was proud of them the other night, and I had a few beers on board, and the bus brought down on the way back, and we got back at 3:30.
I saw that on social media, Mark. What was the problem?
Well, I'm not really a mechanic, Chris, but we lost power. So we pulled over in the services, and then, as I would do if my computer went, I'd turn it on, off, and then put it back on again, hoping it like starts up. And we went for a bit, but apparently nowadays you can't limp along back, especially with 50 people on a bus. So we pulled over, and then we had to wait for a double decker coming from East Yorkshire, from Hull. So it was like on the buses coming back, no toilet. So it was brilliant. But we won. Imagine if it had got beat. So it'd have been
sense. Well, a man of your age as well, Mark, a toilet is a necessity, isn't it?
Oh, without a doubt, 100%. Yeah. I'm actually quite good in the old toilet department, if I'm honest. but as you see, like from the toilets, I'd had a couple of Carling Premiers on board. So it was.
Yeah. Well, there was plenty of reasons to celebrate, weren't they, Dan? And of course, you know, there won't be many Rover supporters who expected a victory, especially when we saw the number of injuries that we had and the team and the squad that lined up, never mind the injuries that occurred during the game.
That's it, yeah. I compared the two teams before the game, and I was looking at the team. I was talking to my dad, actually, who was an old fan, and even though like you want to sort of present this image of, you know, we've got a chance tonight and all that, especially when you're talking to an old supporter, but even so, I just looked at their team and I thought, oh, this is going to be probably a long night for Rovers, especially if it goes one early doors, which it did. And to come back, what a gallant effort that was. Unbelievable, really.
Yeah. And James, it was a funny game, wasn't it? You know, talk about, you know, if you could sum up maybe supporting Rovers in one game, I suppose this game was it, wasn't it? Because it had a bit of everything. It had, at one stage, we looked down and done, and, you know, then we came back and there was plenty of points. There was injuries. There was controversy. There was just everything, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. And, you know, I think we've spoken before on the podcast that, you know, if Rovers start quickly and start well, you know, they actually go on to winning. But if they go behind, you know, we do struggle to come back. But Friday night just turned that on its head, you know, say after that, going 14-0 down. And I know Warrington, you know, look at Warrington's team on paper. I know it's on paper, you know, and as Dan says, you know, they've got, you look at it, you think, we can't beat these with the squad that we've got. But, you know, they managed to do it. And you think, you know, we saw Warrington at Magic, you know, putting Catalan to the sword, but then they sort of binned against Castleford. You think, well, what one team are going to tie out anyway? But no, you just an outstanding effort, you know, for, you know, yeah, the 80 minutes.
Definitely. And I mean, Rovers were, what, 14-0 down after 17 minutes. But I think what was telling for me, especially in the ground as well, I don't know about you, Mark, but when Warrington decided to take the 2 points after 8 minutes when they was awarded a penalty, you know, if you think a team at home were desperate to get a victory, you know, you'd think they'd maybe be a bit more confident in their ability, wouldn't you? But I think that 2 points, you know, it seemed to be telling for me, Mark, that there was probably a little bit of nervousness around the Warrington and side. And obviously, the crowd as well, you know, under 8,000 Warrington fans, you know, there's a lot of apathy there. But for me, that early 2 points maybe give us a bit of a sniff of what might come if Rovers could just build up some pressure.
Yeah, I said to my mate Chris when they took, because it was under the pressure, weren't we, early doors, and I thought, if they score, I'd be, as a Warrington captain or coach, I'd be saying, let's go for the tries, you know what I mean? Because I think one try maybe done us, but and obviously they got the penalty, and I thought, oh, well, they're long confidence as well. But then they did get a couple of tries after that, and I thought, here we go. But as I say, weathered it, got the next try, which was vital, I think. If they got another one, I think we'd have been out of the game. And they just hung in there really all night, even when later on, which I'm sure you'll talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 20 minutes in, Dan, Jimmy Kynor scores off with a head injury. And, you know, like Max already said, there was a few calls that were going against us. Rovers were definitely under pressure. Jimmy Kynor scores off, and all of a sudden you're starting to fear the worst. You know, I think we said on the last podcast, there's been many times on a Friday night we've travelled down the M62 and been on the back of a hiding. And I suppose, you know, whether he was at the game or he was listening to it on radio or however he was following it, you're starting to fear the worst at that point, aren't you?
Yeah, you are when it's going against you like that. It's happened all season now, hasn't it, with injuries? So, yeah, I was thinking the same, but it's like Mark says, you know, if they scored again, then we would have been out of the game. But there was always that chance, and still with the likes of Parcell on the field, I thought, oh, a bit of spark of life here or there, and we might get back into it. And it's kind of what ended up happening. So, yeah, I was fearing the worst at one point.
Yeah, but credit to Rovers. I mean, 25 minutes in, the ball goes out to Ryan Hall from a Lachlan Cook pass. He kicks it back inside, and Crooks chases down the kick for the try. Crucially, Lachlan Cook adds the two, and Rovers are 14 points to 6 down, but it looks like Rovers are starting to get back into it. And then also, you know, a massive moment is when the restart goes out on the full, and Rovers are starting to build up some pressure. You know, James, Ryan Hall, he's shown his ability. What many fans probably won't realise is, and I don't know if you saw it, Mark, Ryan Hall actually pulled up in the warm-up. I don't know if it was mentioned on anywhere else. And he was warming up just before the players actually came back out onto the pitch. And for obviously, he's injured and he's out of the game against Wigan. But my heart was in my mouth at that time, because I thought, if Ryan Hall doesn't play, because it looked like he pulled up. But again, he's just a player, isn't he, James? Who just turns up week in, week out. He's probably, you know, I know it's early days yet, but he's definitely up there for one of our player of the seasons.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the guy's just a machine. And when you need those hard yards coming out the back, you know, you can rely on Hall to sort of get you know, 20, 30, 40 yards, you know, even. You know, he hasn't scored as many tries recently, but I think it's that make of the yardage, that hard yardage, that's probably been of more benefit at the moment, and just helps get switch the momentum and puts a bit of you know, gets you on the front foot again. And he's just an absolute machine. And you know, considering, you know, his age, and you think, you know, well, he could easily come here for a, you know, an easy, you know, a wind down, and he just hasn't. You know, he's just, you know, the guy is absolute class, absolutely class.
Yeah, and I mean, to sum up the game, I mean, the 20th minute to the 30th minute, first of all, Kynor scores off with a HIA injury. Rovers score a try on the 25th minute. Then Warrington kick it out on the 27th minute. On the 29th minute, Metautier Simbin for a high tackle on Coote. He has to go off and leaves the pitch. Will Tate comes on. And then on the 30th minute, Rovers go and score the second try of the game to make the scores 14 points to 12. And what you would say is that it was a fantastic try by Sam Wood, very similar to the try he scored against Wakefield. And Dan, Sam Wood, he's been a very welcome addition back into the team, hasn't he? It's almost like he's not been away the way he's adapted back to play in first team rugby league at Rovers.
Yeah, he's been playing real well. You know, he had a bit of a unfortunate start, was it, against Wigan on the first opening night for us. But yeah, since then, I think, you know, as a whole, he's played pretty well. I think when we got him, Ian Watson said, oh, they've got a great player there. And it's starting to show now. How many years was he extended by, Chris? Do you remember? Is it 1 or 2 years? I don't think it was a 3-year deal, was it?
No, I think it was
just one more. Just one more.
One more, yeah. That's it. So, yeah, he's probably one that we want to be looking at getting tied down for longer soon, because he's still at a really young age and he's strong and he's getting better. So I like him, personally.
Yeah, and James, that try he scores, it just shows you how much power, doesn't it? If you get him running on an angle close to the line, he's almost unstoppable because he's so tall, he's so strong. And I think we're definitely starting to see probably the best of him at a time when Rovers are desperately in need of the players, you know, producing the best form.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and that's one of the surprising things about him, because his overall strength. I think that try he got on Friday night was, I think he's got a couple earlier in the season that was very, very similar, where, you know, he just sort of basically had to sort of go through about 3 or 4 defenders to get over the line. And I think that strength he's got is something to say. I don't think we really appreciated he had, but he's certainly showing it, and he just seems to be getting better and better every game, and he's sort of, you know, looking very strong and solid.
Yeah, definitely. Mark, Stephen Ratchford gets his 4th kick of the game on the 32nd minute to make the scores 16 points to 12. We've already mentioned about him going for the 2 points early on. Another 2 points maybe to just weather the storm, but it was an incredible first half, wasn't it? Because for a lot of it, you know, there was plenty of errors. The weather wasn't helping. It was chucking down with rain. There was lots and lots of dubious referee calls. Maybe that's with Rovers' rose-tinted spectacles on. But for a long, long period of that first half, it looked to be going against the Robins. But yet, we go into half-time, 16 points to 12. And all of a sudden, the game, it's a very different game, isn't it, at half-time?
I think we was all delighted with that. We took that, weren't we, after 20 minutes sort of thing. And I think they'd probably sense the nerves. They're a very nervous team at the moment. I think we would have been 2 or 3 weeks ago. They might have got beat. But I think just Danny's brought a lot of belief into this side. And he's had a good start to it. I'm sure it won't all be easy. But as I say, I've got every faith in this team. I've never thought there was... maybe after the semi-final, when obviously Smith had gone, everybody started doubting him a little bit. But I just think they had the stuffing took out of them. And I think that we look forward next year with all the recruits we're going to get. I think that we could have a really enjoyable season, hopefully. And I just thought second half, magnificent. Just like last year when we beat them 19-0, really, was against it then, weren't we? With Muzzy Mustafa played, Will Tate that night, Will Maher, and everybody just puts their hand up. Brilliant.
Yeah, and James, I suppose, you know, like we've already mentioned, everybody said you need to get off to a fast start. The team who gets off to a fast start will be the one who wins, and it proves actually maybe there's a bit of resilience in that Robin side now. The fact that we came from behind, it's definitely been a feature of the side, hasn't it? That when Rovers start fast, we seem to do well and we seem to get the victory, but we've maybe just seen a bit of a different side to Rovers, which is welcoming, especially when you consider how many injuries we've got and a half-time score of 16 points to 12. You know, if you're at home and you're not quite there and you can't quite see the game, even supporters was at the game, James, you know, nobody would probably envisage that scoreline, but that extra bit of resilience, that bit of backbone that Rovers fans have been crying out for a long time was definitely on show in that first half.
Yeah, it was, and I think, you know, we've already mentioned about Warrington going for those that early penalties to get 2-0 up, but they also went for a penalty, you know, just before half time. You're thinking, well, actually, again, that's probably a testament to actually the resilience that Rovers were showing, and Warrington's just thinking, it's going to be a hard job to break this team down now. You know, even though we'd lost Kynhorst, you know, it was one of us, probably one of our, you know, strongest defenders. Mm. you know, I thought that again, that was quite telling that you know, they'd gone for another two, because I think there's about 4 or 5 minutes, wasn't there, before half time when they took that two. But yeah, that second half, you know, again, we've spoken about being needing to start quick, we'll win, but that to be able to come back, I thought, you know, again, was just outstanding, and just shows actually I think whatever Danny's done in the time he's had him, he's sort of certainly worked. You know, the three games they've had since he's been in charge, I think, you know, it's a totally different team to what it was in the previous 8 games before that. Totally,
yeah,
different.
Definitely, James. I suppose coming back to you as well, James, what kind of message do you think it sends to the opposition when you're quite ready to go for 2 points, when you're supposed to be the dominant team, you're the home team? You know, I suppose some people say it's smart rugby, it's game management, get the points on offer when you can, especially in wet conditions. But I suppose against a team like Rovers, it's a bit of a dangerous play, isn't it? Because we saw against Hull that, you know, as long as you're in arm's reach, Rovers always have a sniff of coming back and getting more points on the board.
Yeah, they do. You know, I can sort of see why they did do it. But by the same token, I think it would have sort of really boosted Rovers to think, actually, yeah, they feel as though they're going to struggle to get through us. And that would have boosted their, you know, their mentality to sort of even go being stronger in defence. But you say, you know, Rovers can, you know, they can throw it around, they can create something from nothing. But, you know, going back to the type of, you know, the team that Warrington have got, they've got the same sort of players who could throw it around. And you're thinking, well, actually, they haven't got confidence that they can do it. I think someone like Jake Wardle, who's joined them, I think he's been really good for them. He's, you know, that try he got was you know, 60, 70 yarder. So they've got the players who could break us down, but they just don't seem to have the confidence that they could do it.
Yeah. And I think, Mark, there's two things that was crucial for me at half time. One was the fact that Lachlan Cook came back out. I think he has such a massive influence on the side. The second thing is we didn't concede early. We didn't, you know, which has been a feature of Rovers so many times this season, you know, conceding a try within the first, what, seven, eight minutes of the second half. Rovers didn't. And I think that was them two things were crucial probably to Rovers going on and getting the victory.
Yeah, it was a welcome return to form for Lachlan. I mean, I think we'd all agree that he's maybe been a little bit last couple of 3 weeks, just a little bit off, certainly in his conversions and stuff like that. And made a couple of uncharacteristic errors, the drop at Wakefield, which could have cost us maybe in the end, but it didn't. But yeah, he's an experienced player, he's a quality player. And we play the long game now, can't we? Stay in the game, as you know, in whatever sport, if you can stay in the game, you know, as they say, them in front of their own crowd, which is, as I say, dwindling, 8,000, they're thinking, the fans don't trust us here, they're not turning out. So confidence, lack of confidence soon builds and start looking at your shoulder and think, well, he don't fancy it. And hey, that's what happened on the night, thankfully.
Yeah. And Dan, 55 minutes, Warrington going for their next try. Rashford converts his fifth kick from 5. It makes the score 22 points to 12. Just before that, though, Minchella is sent to the sin bin for pulling back one of the Warrington players. At that point, when Minchella goes off, you know, Rovers are already chasing the game. Then Warrington go in and get the try, they get the kick, it's 22 points to 12, and then you're starting to go back down in the dumps, aren't you? You go from the highs of Rovers chasing the game, getting back into it, and then this happens. And then, you know, we talked about at the start what a roller coaster it is with Rovers, and there you go, you know, you've gone from a high to a low.
Yeah, it was a sucker punch. That was probably when you thought that it was probably going to get beat at that point, 10 points behind, man in the bin. So you're probably thinking that they might go on and score another. I think from what I remember, Minchella yanked back, is it Michelele? And
yeah.
Michelele scored like after the play was reset. So you're just thinking, oh, fucking hell, this is going to go one way. But no. That's it. It's just another example of how well they've done on that night. You know, all the adversity, not just the injuries, but the scoreboard as well. No, that's, I think the attendance was 7,500, by the way. So it isn't too dissimilar to ours this year. Our average has been like low 7, hasn't it? So their gates are dwindling now, and the team's dwindling as well. They're only 4 points off the bottom, aren't they? Yeah. I think they'll stay up, mind, but still.
Well, I think they'll stay up, Dan. I don't think that's in question.
You'd never know, do you? Because the way, you know what we're here, like, is it 24 years they've been in this league, the way they play, and they end up pulling it together, and then to lose to beating most teams, aren't they? So you never know if they keep losing. It was a bit of a gutting one, that, for a while, wasn't it? When you think about the way we came back. But I tell you what, I was on this podcast the last time we played them, I was about to play them, and I said they've got a soft underbelly, and you wonder if in the dressing room, Maguire's probably touched on that, you know, they're here to be got at, Warrington. The fans are going to get on the back, go for it, and that's probably what happened.
Definitely. And what really impressed me, Mark, about Rovers is, yes, we conceded during that spell when Minchella was sin-binned, but there were now some dogged defence in that 10-minute spell, where it just gave us enough to keep in the game. Quite easily we could have folded there.
Yeah, it seems to lift us, didn't it, really? Maybe that a bit of adversity, right? Was he skipper on the night? Would have been skipper? Who was skipper on the night?
Well, he's vice-captain, yeah. He was the captain.
So maybe thought, we've lost our skipper, we need to give us an extra 10% each, and we certainly did that. And as I say, it was like a rollercoaster evening, and just one of those enjoyable but obviously petrifying evenings as well. And I agree with Dan a little bit. I'd love to see Warrington go down, though, if I'm honest, because we know they fiddle the cap every year, don't we? You know, and it's always their year, and it'd just be lovely to see some, like, one of those bigger clubs. Well, they think they are. See you later. You know what I mean?
It's their year to go down.
Yeah, it is. It'd be nice. But you obviously got Wakefield and Toulouse are obviously favourites now, and them two wins have just, thankfully, because I was starting to get a little bit worried, like all three of you was probably, that we're going to get dragged into it, when halfway through the season we was thinking we bought our ground, we're getting momentum, and then all of a sudden we're panicking again, aren't we, typical Rovers? But I think such wood will be all right now.
I think Danny Maguire spoke about that, didn't he, about going into the Hull game, where, you know, there was a lot of talk about us looking down and relegation, etc. And actually, I think he knocked a few heads together and said, why are we looking down? We should be looking up, you know. He's definitely got their act together, and the players seem to have got on side with what he was saying. But I mean, a bit of magic as well, weren't they, for Rovers' next try? Ethan Ryan, fantastic,
beautiful
catch,
that, man.
Great kicking. I mean, it was like slow motion to see it happen. But Ethan Ryan, James, I mean, he's. It's becoming a bit of a trademark for us now, isn't it? Plucking these balls out the air and catching them on the fall and going down for the try. And I know we spoke about Sam Wood and Ethan Ryan, that partnership out on the right and that height, what an advantage it gives us. But Ethan Ryan is definitely someone who benefits from Rovers' high kicking game.
He does. I mean, the way he took that try, it was just outstanding. He, especially, you know, given the conditions, given where it was landing, to actually take that all in one go and then just go over was just outstanding. You know, and the kick from Litton was right on the button. But I think Ethan Ryan's quite an underrated player across the rest of the game. I think obviously we recognise, you know, how solid and reliable he is. But I think if you look at it, he must have a pretty good try scoring ratio, you know, to games. So he's always, you know, he's always getting the tries, but I think defensively he's really solid as well. I think, you know, there's a few games where he has been, you know, I think it was at the Huddersfield game where it was he should have been the man of the match, but he's just putting some real strong defensive efforts in. And I think that's the side of the game, his game that's really come on, and that didn't, you know, we hadn't probably expected that, but, you know, he's just becoming into a really good, strong all-round winger.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, before that, Mark, Matty Parcell goes in for a try. I mean, to be fair, Matty Parcell, I don't think it was necessarily his best game. I think Jez Litton played very well. Of course, Jez Litton moved around the pitch, ends up going into the halves because of Mikey Lewis getting injured. But another player, Matty Parcell, where, you know, if you're looking for someone who's a 7, 8, even 9 out of 10 every game, Matty Parcell is one who definitely puts his hand up for that, isn't he?
Yeah, I think, did he start with Jez, didn't he, on Friday?
Yeah.
And I think because he'd done real well against Wakey, hadn't he, Jez? I thought he'd give us a lot of energy when we was probably a little bit flat. And so I think they're both excellent players, and I think Jez is going to become a top player, but as at the moment, Matty just edges him in that experience and bit of nous near the line. And I don't think they're the best two, you know, pairing in Super League, in my opinion, any club. So I wouldn't want to take anybody else really. So, but Jez, yeah, excellent, brave for his size, isn't he? As well, he doesn't shake anything. There's this perception that he's a bit weak defensively, but I don't see that.
No, well, I don't. I mean, to be fair, whether I suppose the only criticism you could level at him, Mark, is that maybe he goes into tackles that maybe
bit he reckless. Shouldn't
go into. Because he's so brave and he's so willing and he's so determined to play a role for the team that. But you know, there's no shaking out of anything from Jez Litton, and also probably don't get enough credit for his attacking ability and the way that he plays. And I suppose, like you said, it's probably the best combination of hookers in Super League. And like we said, how well Matty Parcell has done this season, and Jez Litton has got he's got somebody so great to learn from, hasn't he? And enhance his game. But I don't know. Do you think they're slightly different, aren't they, in the way that they play?
Me, yeah, they are. Yeah, I think that I think he would be a good halfback. You know, when obviously everyone was speculating that Roy Mills wasn't really doing the business at the moment, and I'd maybe before Will Dagger maybe put him in as a, because he can kick, can he? His little kickings, as you saw with the kick for Ethan Ryan, and maybe just to get them both on the pitch without spelling, and maybe put another forward if we had any forwards on the bench, but we haven't really got many of them at the moment. So they're just both outstanding, and I think we just enjoy them while we can. And I think Parcell kept strip feeding these 1-2 year contracts, and eventually he'll go home, won't he? And then hopefully Jez will become the senior figure. Yeah,
definitely. And James, 10 minutes to go, Rovers are 24 points to 22 in the lead. I suppose this is when you start biting your fingernails, isn't it? And you're just hoping and praying that Rovers can hold on and find a victory from somewhere. Because the effort that they've put in so far was definitely needed rewarding.
It did, you know. I think, you know, you've got to take your hands off them. I think also probably indication of probably the fitness levels, you know, considering probably by that time we were probably down to, you know, one interchange left, and that sort of disappeared in the next sort of 2 or 3 minutes. To actually be able to, you know, withstand that pressure they had in the first half in those sort of conditions, to come back at Warrington twice and, you know, to then get the lead, you're thinking, you know, God, how the hell are they going to hold on to this? But they did. You know, I think as you know, we said earlier, in the podcast, they've just got some real grit in there now and some real character that says, you know, we're in the lead. You're not going to take it off us.
Yeah. And then with 3 minutes to go, Will Daggers puts a high bomb in, Warrington spill it. Sam Royal goes in for his first try of his All Kingston Rovers career. Most importantly for me, though, Lachlan Cook gets his fourth kick from four. And I suppose, Dan, it just highlights how important kicking is, doesn't it? To go four from four, especially when your opponent, Stefan Ratchford, is also, you know, is kicking really well. It just highlights how important it is to get them 2 points.
Yeah, it can be the difference between winning and losing, can't it? I think in that game against Warrington, it gave us that confidence, you know, when you kick it, you can just feel it in the crowd that yes, you know, it has that effect. And like in the old game, it had a detrimental effect, I suppose. Not, I know it's a bit of a touchy subject, isn't it, after what happened on Twitter with all that with the podcast, but yeah, in that game, it was like it went the other way, shall we say.
Yeah, and great to see people join us this evening, Mike Allen. He's put. I was in the wire end when they're winning. Everything was rosy and happy, but when we came back, they were really nasty towards Powell. And it's something that Dan, our guest from Warrington on the last podcast, mentioned. He said, "Look, it's a really toxic atmosphere. When things are good, but when it's bad, it's very bad." And I think ultimately Rovers capitalised on that. And I don't know if Rovers players got a sense of the atmosphere. But you could definitely see things turning. I suppose if we go back to the start of the game and we see the lineup, Mark, how surprised was you to see Will Tate line up on the bench?
I was, because I read your, obviously, Red Robin podcast post on the thing, and I thought, where's he playing, prop in or second row? And then he was on the bench. You must have got some duff information, did you, Chris? But I really like the kid, though, by the way. I think he's going to be a top player if you can get him enough game time, which hopefully we might not do if we keep our best players fit. Just while I'm on that point, just about Ryan Hall, I did see him, obviously, having two fitness tests, really, and I think he popped his calf. Which just shows you the level of the man, really, you know, to just put his hand up to play. And it's probably done him for the rest of the season, unfortunately. But I just think he's been the best signing for 3 or 4 years for Hull Kingston Rovers. I just think he's a top professional. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Will Tate is, I suppose, James, you know, the fact Will Tate's on the bench, a position he's probably not accustomed to, the fact he comes on and plays, you know, a variety of positions. He plays, you know, he's on the bench, he's off it, and it probably epitomises Rovers' performance as a whole against Warrington, isn't it, where it seems to be a bit of a back-to-the-wall performance, yet everyone dug in and did the job, and it was almost like they was doing the job for the badge and they're doing it for the supporters, and it was almost by hook or by crook that they were determined to get a victory.
Yeah, it was, and I think, you know, you look at Will Tate, as you said, you know, he's had a number of games, and I think he's, you know, he never lets anybody down. He always looks really solid, you know. And I think, as you know, Mark said, he's going to be a really good player for us in the future with more experience. I think he reminds me very much of he's a bit like Jimmy Kindhorst, really, isn't he? Will Tate can come on. He can just cover any position. And like I say, I probably wouldn't expect, you know, didn't he in the playoff game last year play in the middle? In the end, within the last 5 minutes, he's playing at prop.
Yeah, I think
think that's a sort of, you know, that's the sort of player we want. You know, just prepared to come in, dig in, and just put the hand up and put it in. Do it for the team and play as a team. And that's what we had on Friday night. And I'm amazed we've got this far without mentioning Corbin Sims.
Well, don't steal my thunder yet, James. But do you know what?
Half an hour to go yet, James.
You'll go for it.
I just think, you know, it's almost like with Corbin Sims, there's been a light switched on since Smith's gone. And it's sort of, I don't know whether there was the fallout with him and Smith, and now Smith's gone, and, you know, Maguire's giving him a rein. He's just a transformed player. And that offload for Parcells' try, you know, I've watched it so many times. How the hell he got that ball out, I do not know.
Yeah, well, just to play devil's advocate then, James.
Yeah.
Corbin Sims' recent form has improved since he's learned he's not getting a new deal at Hull Kingston Rovers and he's now in the shop window.
Possibly, yeah. But also, probably the pressure on him is also thinking, that's him going back to my family.
Yeah.
So the pressure's off him. And, you know, that's probably what might have been playing on his mind. You don't know.
There was actually in front of me the absolute Corbin Sims hater. in front of me, and of course that first try of theirs, he did miss the tackle, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then there was a bit of people stood in front of him because they took loads of beer and were overscored after that, and there was a bit of verbals, you know. And in fairness, he did play his best game for Rovers, in my opinion. And 18 carries, wasn't it? He didn't make a lot of meters, but he was just putting his hand up like they all did. And
be fair, he did 31 tackles. Two marker tackles. He'd made 18 carries, and he did 102 meters, and then he did two offloads, which is probably stats wise the best he's probably done at Rovers. And what I'd say as well, James, is, do you know what? If he's putting himself in the shop window and that form leads Rovers to a playoff place, you know.
Mm.
There you go. That's life, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you know, he's putting himself in the shop window. But at the moment, Rovers are getting the benefit of that.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm not complaining.
I think there was obviously something that's gone on between him and Smith, and maybe three or four other players. I think Minchella was very quiet for a long period of time. You don't know whether they've fell out. And it's like anything, whatever sport you played, we all know that you can't get on with everybody, can you? So he's probably thought, and Maguire's using it to his best device, isn't he, by saying, here you go. And it'd be nice to get Albert out there, wouldn't it, as well?
Well, yeah.
Steady on.
It would, yeah. But I suppose, Dan, you know, like we've already alluded to, something wasn't quite right with Corbin Sims, because I think there was one point where he didn't even get named in the reserve side And there was no reports of injuries or anything like that. And he just got frozen out of the side. But he's come back. He looks hungry. The only thing I'd say is he don't need to smash someone every single time he goes to tackle them. Sometimes you just hope, just have a bit of composure, because he looks like he wants to nail someone every single time he goes to tackle them.
Yeah, I think that's him, isn't it? Maybe he does need to cool his jets a bit. I heard that he likes around the golf too. As well, that seemed to be the case, didn't it, for a long time with the old Smith thing that you mentioned. But yeah, you know, the other thing with Corbyn Timbers as well. So I remember Keith Pollard coming on here and saying that he was our best forward, and so many people laughed at that. And I'm not saying he is our best forward, but on the
let's not go too far.
Well, you know what? It's subjective, isn't it? On the last three games, he probably has been our best forward on those three games. But it makes you think, if he was playing throughout the whole season, how would have his, you know, how would have his season played out? How would have his future at Rovers played out? But we'll never know, because something has probably happened between him and Smith. And, you know, it's a shame, really. I do find it a shame. I mean, imagine Sims, how he's playing now, and someone like Jesse Sue in the pack next season. Can't be like that due to the quota system, but yeah, would have been good. It's a shame.
And whilst we're heaping praise on one prop, there's two more I think that deserve a special mention. One of them is the King, George King. 43 tackles, 9 marker tackles, 11 carries, 87 metres. He was on the pitch for, I think, 73 minutes, which is an incredible effort from someone this late on in the season. And as probably, again, it's another performance, Matt, that just shows how resilient there was against Warrington and how determined there was to get the victory, that a prop forward can go on and put in that many minutes and contribute that much in defence. After he's had his own recent injury problems as well.
Well, I think we all love the guy, don't we? I think that was probably one of Smith's best things he's done. I mean, he did a lot of good things, did Tony Smith, certainly in his first 18 months, 2 years. But I think getting George King, when maybe was all a bit underwhelmed when we heard it, because we all think we know better than these coaches, don't we? And he's just immaculate. And I think that he's just a role model for the younger props who's going to come through, hopefully, the Fishwicks of this world and Connor Moore. And certainly, if we can build around him, which we've been wanting to do for 10 years, we've all talked about big boys in the pack. And I do believe that we'll have a fairly decent side if we can get the pack sorted out.
Yeah. And James, another prop who's really started playing really well over the last few weeks is Will Maher. You know, I think many people were probably surprised that he got another contract at the end of last season, although, you know, probably again towards the end of last season, he started playing really well, hence why he probably got another contract. He's definitely a prop forward who gives us something different. I think that's one thing that Tony Smith wanted with our props, wasn't it? He wanted a range of props who could do different things. But Will Maher, he's punching through the line, he's defending, he's showing a bit of aggression, and you know, the Will Maher that was at the start of the season to the Will Maher that's coming towards the end of the season is almost like a completely different player.
It's chalk and cheese, and like you say, you just look at him now and I've always liked him just because I don't think he makes a lot of errors. True. You know, I think people sort of criticise him because of his size and the expecting to be like Walmsley when he's not. He's a different sort of player. But, you know, last season he did the same, like I say, did the same thing where he sort of towards the back end of the season he came strong, and he's doing it the same this season. So maybe the trick is send him out on loan for the first 15 rounds or so, and then come and bring him back in when he's ready to sort of punch some holes in some defences. But again, you're right, he's another player who I don't think he ever lets us down. But he has, the last few games, has really come into his own again.
Yeah. And I suppose most worryingly, Mark, as a Rovers supporter, while we're all celebrating the win, when you see Mikey Lewis hobble onto the pitch on crutches with a big boot on, you know, you're starting to fear the worst, aren't you? I mean, when we finished the game with Jez Litton and Will Dagger at our halfbacks, a combination that nobody would ever predict, probably, featuring for Rovers this season. And then you see Mikey Lewis come onto the pitch on the back of Jordan Abdul obviously already being injured. But, you know, we're going to come onto the squad for the Wigan game. But a huge loss We just hope the injury is not as bad as what is feared.
Yeah, I don't think it's the ankle that he did last time, is it? Because you, ankle ligaments can be a nightmare, can't they, to get right? But I think it's the only what I've read in the paper that it's his other ankle. But he's only like 5 or 6 weeks to go, isn't he, in the season? So I'd be very surprised if we get him back. I don't want to be a doom and gloom merchant, but I just think that him and even Ryan, all if he's popped his calf, we're going to struggle to get him out there. But hopefully next week we can get, I think maybe looking at the squad, and we'll talk about that in a minute, that they'll probably hold a few back, won't they? And maybe for the Toulouse game. And I do think it'll be the right decision this time.
Yeah. I suppose, James, when you look at our results over the season, where would that Warrington victory rank in your best victories of the season?
Oh gosh, I think I'd probably certainly put it top three. I think the Good Friday probably first, and then the Warrington home game where we just blitzed them off the park in the first 20 minutes. That was probably the second one, and I put that one Friday night as the number three.
Yeah, I suppose, Dan, the like James just said, the Good Friday victory over Hull, the Warrington victory last Friday, it shows that Rovers can find a different way to win a game. You know, we're not, you know, obviously we haven't been on enough occasions this season, you know, just champagne rugby. We've shown that we can play a different way, which is important, isn't it? Because for a lot of time this season, it's almost looked like we haven't got a plan B, and we've not been able to find on enough occasions another way of winning a game.
Yeah, you need to do that over a season, don't you? Because at times the fixtures have become more congested, so the fitness levels aren't what they were at the start when you're raring to go. Another one was the Toulouse and all, I believe. How close they were, that was another one. And Cass in the cup as well. They had a lot of adversity in that. I remember there was this horror show picture of Mikey Lewis and Jordan Abdo being injured at the same time. You know, all those kind of games, you know, they've come through it. So they've got a lot of character, to say the least. So, yeah, it's been good in that sense.
Definitely. Going back to Mikey Lewis, Adam Wadforth, who's watching on Facebook, he's put Lewis probably didn't help himself staying on for several minutes when injured. I admire his bravery in wanting to carry on, but if he's injured, he needs to go straight off for the benefit of himself and his team. I suppose, though, Mark, that just typified the performance, innit? Everyone was digging in. Everyone wanted to be part of it. Nobody wanted to let the team down. And what you would say about Michael Lewis, you know, he might not be the biggest player, but he's definitely one of the bravest players on the pitch, because he's just fearless, not just with ball in hand, but the way he plays in defence as well.
He's a proper street fighter, isn't he? I think that he's just going to have to rein it in a little bit as he goes on. Obviously, he gets more experience, but hey, isn't it great that he's in our changing rooms and he's playing for Hull Kingston Rovers, in my opinion. We should just cherish it. And he's certainly antagonising the opposition a little bit, which we all love. And but he'll tackle anything. Yeah, he's tackling, his defence weren't great, was it, a couple of years ago? And it's not going to be, but he's an halfback. And if he keeps creating and scoring tries at that young age, I just think the world's his oyster, and hopefully it's with Hull Kingston Rovers.
Yeah, and what you would say as well, he's under the tutelage of Danny Maguire. You know, he's not going to learn off anybody better, is he, in terms of how to play the game. And I suppose it's a fine line, isn't it? The way he plays, you know, you've got to almost give him a bit of a free licence, haven't you, sometimes to let him dictate what he wants to do. But we move on to the Wigan game. The games are coming thick and fast, aren't they? We could have probably done with this Wigan game being on the Sunday rather than the Thursday. It might give us just a few more days to get bodies back, etc. Before we go into the squad and we say who's named, James, what are your views on the game as a whole? Because I suppose the Warrington victory gives us just a bit of breathing space in that push for the playoffs, doesn't it?
It does. I think it's taken away. I mean, I was sort of a few weeks ago, you know, anxious that we were sort of looking potentially relegation dogfight. I think the last couple of games have, I think, taken us away from that. So I think we can look, you know, look forward with a bit more confidence. I think in terms of the playoffs, you know, it'd be great if we get there. But I just think given the injuries we've got and the players we're going to be missing, if we can make the playoffs, it'd be, I think it'd be an outstanding superhuman effort from now.
But Dan, Toulouse are up after the Wigan game, which you would say, I mean, I don't know what other people's opinions are, but Toulouse have suddenly become this well-beaten side who are capable of beating anyone. And they've got the fear factor on everybody, yet they are still where they are in the table. So I don't necessarily think they're as good and as capable of getting results as what people might think. And we face them at home after the Wigan game, which you would maybe think is a very winnable game. So is this Wigan game, is it one to write off? But I suppose when you've got professional sportsmen, and I'll ask you about this, Mark, next, you can't just write games off, can you? It's your job. It's what you do. You know, you get beat. You don't get beat because of lack of effort or not trying. You get beat because you're just not the best team on the day.
No, I was never good enough. All the teams I played in was never good enough to actually not turn up and just have it as a free hit. But I think when you're a supporter and you see the injury problems that we have, and I mean, Matty Pete was saying that he's going to rest a few, and I look at the squad today and I think, well, I can't see it, but I'm hoping that he leaves Jai Field and French out that team, because then I do think they become a little bit more average with them two out the team. But no, it's a difficult one. You never go out any game as a player to not turn up or not try. But this is one where I would actually maybe rest a couple of our key players who's in that squad, the Coot and Parcell maybe, and just maybe just go for it and hopefully keep it under 40. Very negative, I know. Yeah.
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? You know, as a supporter, you want Rovers to go out. You want them to put 100% into every game. You want them to win every game, etc. But I suppose when you look at the, you know, you look at the injury, 14 first team players we've got out injured before announced the squad. Brad Takarangi, Sean Kennedy-Dowell, Ryan Hall, Jordan Abdul, Albert Vette, Dean Hadley, Kane Lynette, Mighty Staunton, Louis Johnson, Corbin Sims, Jimmy Carnos, Mikey Lewis, Tom Garrett and Frankie Holton. You know, on any day, they would all be fighting for a first team spot. So to go into a game against Wigan, at Wigan, without them players is a huge ask. As a result, Rovers have had to draft in Connor Barley, Harvey Moore, Connor Moore, Charlie Kavanagh. PLT once again features Will Tate, of course, who lined up against Warrington. You know, we've had to reach into the depths of our reserves and academy. I mean, I suppose the thing what you can do is look at it as a negative that we're having to field these youngsters. But I tell you what, Dan, these youngsters who are coming into the squad will be absolutely biting the hand off of Danny Maguire to get into that first team and show them what they can do. And, you know, energy, enthusiasm, you know, you catch Wigan on a bad day. These players, these young kids, if they get the chance, could be the difference.
Yeah, that's it. It's opportunity. Opportunity that they wouldn't have got otherwise. I mean, there's Adam Musling, the half that they've got, they've loaned to Como. You know, he could have had a chance in the halves if he was still around, because he got loaned out. So he wasn't so fortunate. But then again, to like join the pessimism crew with Mark, it can go the other way. I remember almost 10 years ago now, they played quite a few kids against Wigan and they got beat 84-6 in 2013. Yeah. Not saying that's going to happen again, like, but it can go one way or the other, can't it? It depends. Are they good enough? You know, we'll have to find out. But either way, it's going to be amazing, an amazing experience for them, regardless if they end up getting a start or even on the bench. I mean, look at Zach Fishwick.
As a fan, I wish it wasn't on telly. But it'll be great for the young kids. It'll be great for the young kids, won't it, to be on telly? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Telling the mates and saying I'm on telly next week. Do you know what I mean? And it's great for them young. Great for them young kids. And as I say, I just hope it's not a Sandercock. I mean, it was the end of Sandercock, wasn't it? That game after Easter, which probably was a bit harsh at the time. And Matty Baharrell played in a few of the lads, didn't they? And
well, I've got the lineup for you here, Mark.
Have you? Oh, good man. You're good, aren't you?
Greg Eden at fullback. You had Alex Brown, Liam Salter, Chris Wellham and Sam Lattice. You had Craig Hall and Matty Baharrell at 6 and 7. Then you had Adam Walker, Josh Hodgson, Mickey Pierre, Graham Horn, Jordan Cox and Mika as a starting 13. And on the bench, Keel Carlisle, Reese Lovegrove, George Griffin and Tuma Vive. actually, when you look at that,
was really young, was it?
That's quite a decent team, actually, for the time.
That was our first team, I think, wasn't it?
And that finished 84 points to 6. The worst part of that being, obviously, it was a home fixture as well. It wasn't even at the mm-hmm. DW, was it? It was at home. Okay. So, you know, but what you would say is, you know, probably a bit more resilience, a bit of a different culture at the club, you know, different staff. There's a bit of a different setup. I suppose, though, James, I mean, that left edge is going to be a totally new left edge. We've become so dependent on it all season. I put out that win over Warrington last week was the first time that we'd won a game without Sean Kenny-Dowell since 2019, which is incredible, really. Probably testament to Sean Kenny-Dowell and his fitness and how he's managed to play so many games.
Yeah, I've missed many.
You know, losing Sean Kenny-Dowell is one thing. To then lose Ryan Hall at the same time is meant to replace them is a huge ask, isn't it?
It is, but then you think he was probably going to replace him with him. When Crooks played left centre on Friday night, I think he had a solid game, obviously scored a try. And then I can imagine they probably put Will Tate in as a straight replacement for Ryan Hall. And if you look at that, I don't think that's too bad. I think that's quite a good, you know, quite a solid team, really.
It's quite ironic now,
Ryan
isn't it? It's ironic our right edge now has become our strong case.
But I mean, looking at the squad, you know, I think in a way it's a win-win situation for us because there's such low expectations that we're going to go to Wigan against the full-strength Wigan team and turn them over. So there's no expectation there. So they can go out relaxed and, you know, throw the ball around. But then you've got to think about, you know, the young kids that they're bringing in, you know, the experience that they're going to get. You know, they're going to play against, you know, a top-class team, a top-class stadium on Sky. It's going to probably do them the world of good and boost their confidence. That they've been given that experience and that confidence that, you know, the coaching team have got it in them to be able to go and do it. And just, you know, you look at how Fishwick was at Magic, you know, 17-year-old kid playing, making the first team debut in a derby at Magic. It didn't look out of place. And who said, you know, the kid's going to be drafted in, that don't have the same effects on them.
Yeah, and of course, Fishwick returns to the squad. I mean, it's exciting to see Harvey Moore, Rovers Academy captain, coming to the side.
Where's he played, Chris? Do you know, Chris, where's he played? Do you know? I honestly don't know. It's not. I apologise to Harvey Moore, but what's his position? Do you know?
He plays in the halves, I think.
Oh, is he half, is he?
Yeah. I suppose, as well, if you go back to the halves, I know Milnes. Mikey Lewis is injured. But you've got Ryan Milnes who can just slot straight in. And I know, exactly. You know he's been getting a bit of stick off Rover supporters for the last few games. But for me, he's a player that I like. And I think Danny McGuire spoke very highly of him in last week's press conference when they spoke about him being dropped from the squad. I suppose, though, when you look at our forwards who are missing, Dan, you're going to be relying on George King to do big minutes once again. There's going to be a few players, isn't there? A few senior players who are going to have to really stand up and do probably longer minutes than the normally would.
Yeah, because if they don't, then you are relying possibly on a 17-year-old against Wigan of all clubs, all teams. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. I don't know about a write-off. I don't think you can ever go into a game thinking that, but it's going to be real. I mean, if we do get beat, then you probably just have to say it's one of them. If they get beat real bad, hopefully no 84-6s, but if it is a hammering, then you'd be disappointed, I suppose. But yeah, it's just a tough situation, isn't it? 14 first-team players out. How bad's that? Bad luck, you know.
Well, to be fair, though, Dan, you know, it's only other teams who are getting injuries at the moment. If you read the... I was going to say
exactly the same. Yeah.
You wouldn't think Rovers were struggling with injuries, whereas every other Super League team seems to be absolutely decimated, and little old Rovers seems to be going under the radar a little bit, don't they? With our injury crisis at the moment.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So if you're, I'm just trying to, you know, predict a starting lineup, and it's quite telling that if you look at the first four players in the 20-man squad, interestingly, 20-man squad, not 21-man squad, so we can't even name a full quarter of players in the squad. You know, you go from number one, Lachlan Coote, the fifth player named is Jez Litton, and he's number 14. So that just gives
squad numbers tells a story, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, the squad numbers of who's missing. So to try and pick a starting lineup, I don't know if any of you gents have tried to predict the lineup.
I've had a go. Yeah,
go on then.
PLT.
Oh,
right. Right. Ryan, Barley, Crooks, Tate, Milnes, Dagger, King, Litton, Ma, Wood, Royal, Minchella, Richards, Fishwick, Moore, Kavanagh.
Yeah. Any advances on that? Go on then, tell me what's the reason, what you're thinking, PLT at fullback.
I just think that the Toulouse game is that big that we'll need Lachlan. Imagine if first tackle, it happened to Rovers, wouldn't it? He'd get a cop, especially against Wigan.
Yeah.
Dirty Wigan and Matt Parcell, you know what I mean? You've got Charlie Kavanagh there, you've got three hookers, haven't you? So do you just say to Jez, go and start that game? And yeah, it might be a bit defeatist, but if we get another two or three injuries to senior players, you might get a couple back for Toulouse, maybe, right? But I just think that maybe it's worth the risk and gives them young kids that apparently Conor Barley is an excellent centre, isn't he? So maybe give him a go next to Ethan Ryan.
Yeah, and Conor Barley's fresh from playing for Yorkshire in this year's Origin Academy series. So, you know, he'll be primed and ready to go. Graham Turner, who joined us on the last two podcasts, he's put on YouTube, would blooding some youngsters with Super League game time be seen as a positive result rather than just the result itself given the injury list?
Exactly.
Yeah, I suppose only the devil's advocate on that is, and this is, it's always something that happens when a team is struggling towards the end of the season. Everyone says, right, let's play the youngsters. Is putting young players into a negative experience on potential defeats and a bad performance, you know, is that a positive experience for that player? I don't know. Maybe it is. What do you reckon, Mark?
I don't know.
Go on, James. You're right.
No, so I don't think it is. I think, you know, it's young kids have got to start sometime, haven't they? And what normally happens is they put, you know, you get a young kid, if you're a young kid playing against somebody like, you know, no disrespect to these, you know, a League One team or a Championship team at home in the Challenge Cup, you know, when there's nobody there, you know, it's a sort of dead atmosphere, you win easily. You know, if you're good enough and you're considered good enough to have a squad number and be in the first team squad of a Super League team, then, you know, the coaching staff have the confidence in you to play against the top class teams. And for me, if I was a youngster, I'm thinking, I'm going to give it a good go. You know, I'm going to bust the gut here and show that actually, I am worth my place. And yeah, they're going to, the chances are they're going to get beat. But you look at the Saints against Castleford early in the season when, you know, Saints just basically played their academy team. They got beat, but you think of that experience that they've got now from playing in there. We're sort of seeing the benefit of that with Sam Royal to an extent. So, you know, it all helps. You know, it's bringing them on, you know, gradually. You know, it's not the good, they probably won't play too many more times to the rest of the season, but say, as I said earlier, to be go out somewhere like the DW Stadium in front of the Sky cameras against a top class team like Wigan can do them a world of good.
Yeah. Now I heard, and this was on the back of the on the Derby game at Magic Weekend, which is why Hull FC brought in three youngsters from rival teams, that if once you make a Super League appearance or a first grade appearance, that the club is bound by the RFL to offer that player a certain contract or a certain deal, which would be interesting to see, because if Rovers go with, obviously, you know, you'd imagine that out of the one, two, three, four players who were named in the squad, that depending on what contracts they are on, whether that would have any ramifications on them having to offer a contract. And apparently that's an RFL ruling, so if anyone's got, can correct me on that. But I think that's why Hull had to bring in the players that they did rather than risk playing any academy players. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they go. But
Did you pick a team, Chris?
Mate, I'm scratching my head here because, you know, there's a lot of unknown there, isn't there? There's a lot of unknown.
Yeah, well, as I say, I don't know the shirts of the players, but I don't get to see the A team or whatever, so I didn't know
there's
what
happened. And you know, like I get your point about Lachlan Coote. You know, do you wrap him up and say, but then, hang on, you bring a player like Lachlan Coote in for his leadership, for his experience, and you bring him in for games potentially like this. Is he going to be enough to win the game? Who knows? I think it's going to be a fantastic opportunity. I'd say maybe PLT might be closest to playing. I think he was 18th man on Friday. He spent a lot of time out on the pitch pre-game with Dave Hodgson, and maybe he's close to playing, and maybe we might see a change around. And what you would say is with Lachlan Coote, Roy Milnes, Will Dagger, Jez Litton, Matty Parcell, there's an opportunity there, isn't there, to play with a ball in hand and play a bit of rugby league. You know, looking at that team and that 20-man squad, you wouldn't say it's going to become an arm wrestle and we're going to try and batter them, would you? We're not going to go toe-to-toe down the middle with them, as well as, you know, players like Will Maher's been playing. The loss of Corbin Sims is huge. I mean, I think it was you who mentioned it, James. So frustrating that Albert Vette is not fit. I think he's got an abscess now. So a different injury. So I think it was a groin injury prior to that. Probably the story of his career, isn't it? That just when he's got the opportunity to really cement a place in the side, once again, he's missing out due to injury.
Yeah, it is. I think, you know, say it probably would have come good. I think, you know, yeah, he's got an abscess. So unfortunately, he's not going to be around for a couple of weeks, I would have thought.
Yeah. But with Danny Maguire at the helm, you know, he's no stranger to playing Wigan, and a game plan that, you know, creating a game plan where we could potentially be in an opportunity to win. I suppose what Danny Maguire demands from the team is, you know, outrun them, out tackle them, you know, don't leave anything on the pitch. And if you do that, well, then you can't ask much more. And I think that's the case with this squad. That's the case with this game on Thursday. Do what you can do. Do it to 100%. You know, leave everything on the pitch. And then the result is what it is, isn't it? And we'll see where we are at the end of the game. But who knows? It is literally, you know, let's be honest, nobody expected Rovers to go to Warrington and get a result. We did. And Rovers have shown, you know, before that we can get a result. So let's see where that takes us. Other games that have coming up, the Leeds-Rhino game has now been moved to Sky, which means our next three games are all on Sky TV. I guess that's because we're such an entertaining rugby league side, and maybe Rupert Murdoch's been on the phone saying that the viewing figures on Sky Sports are down, so we need to boost viewing figures. What can we do? Get Hull Kingston Rovers on Sky Sports. That'll increase the viewing figures. There's no doubt about that. That'll kick off at 8 o'clock on Friday, the 12th of August. I suppose a bit of bad news. Rovers were fined during the week, weren't they, for homophobic chanting, I suppose, you know. I suppose we're all in agreement, aren't we, that times have changed. You know, what used to be acceptable in years gone by is no longer acceptable. And, of course, as a club, you know, we welcome anyone to Craven Park and we wouldn't want anyone to be fearing that they can't come to the game because of chanting, etc. So hopefully the club will put measures in place to improve that. And a big piece of transfer news, which has already been broke. I think the club are a bit late to it. After Willie Peters announced it on a podcast about a month ago, Jesse Sue is now confirmed as a Hull Kingston Rovers player. He's going to be an exciting player to watch. He's only played in the NRL this season four times, I think a total of something like 36 minutes, but he brings with him some pedigree. James, as exciting as he's age 30. Are you surprised to see him given a three-year contract?
Yeah, I probably was, actually. You think, you know, probably 2 years with an option for a third would have been the normal route to go. But then is coming over with Willie Peters. Willie Peters is here for 3 year, you know, got a 3 year contract. So maybe that's how it's sort of all panning out. Maybe he's sort of seen, I think, you know, he's being positioned as being sort of a type of player who's you know, wants to sort of help support the younger players and bring them on. So maybe there's a feeling that by giving that 3 year contract, he's going to be around the club for that a lot longer than normally you would do. And that the you know, the younger players are going to get the benefit of that experience.
Yeah. I think what was telling is in the quotes, what he provided, Willie Peters said he's ready to play his best football. He could have stayed in the NRL, but it's an exciting time to be part of Hull KR. He and his family want to be part of it. So I suppose that suggests, Mark, he's going to be moving over with his family. We've seen in time gone by, haven't we, when players come over in isolation, it didn't always help them. So it seems that Jesse Sewell's coming over and fully investing into Hull Kingston Rovers, as is Willie Peters. I suppose it's interesting, isn't it, how much involvement Willie Peters is having on and around Hull Kingston Rovers at the moment. Danny Maguire said that he speaks to him nearly every day. We're going to come on to Dean Hadley, but he's definitely in the ear of a lot of the current squad as well as our new signings. And I suppose the Tony Smith departure has pushed that forward, hasn't it, and give Rovers the opportunity to start planning for next season while still trying to come to a successful conclusion to this season.
Yeah, he's obviously watching a lot of video, isn't he? And obviously over there in Australia. And it's, I think with the Jesse Sue one, I think we all probably thought it'd be a 2 year deal. But he obviously knows him inside and out. And the pleasing thing is that he's coming over early, isn't he? Jesse Sue, maybe November sort of time, rather than coming end of January previous year. So it takes him maybe 2 or 3 months to get into the swing of things, doesn't it? So, it's like anyone, it's a gamble, isn't it? Every signing's a gamble. We all thought that we was getting 3 semi-diamonds, didn't we, last time? So let's just hope that, I think if all 3 of them arrive, we'll probably get more than the last 3 of, to be fair. So,
I think it's fair to say that people would probably be reserving judgment on what they can do until they do it. Yeah. Like you said, because exactly. We've had our fingers burnt sort of with our last 3 NRL recruits. But Dan, it's not the first time, is it, that Jesse Sue has stepped foot in East Hull?
No, it's not. I believe he played at Craven Park in the 2013 World Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, the atmosphere for that game now will be compared to the derby or a big game under the floodlights, you know, if we were near the top of the league or conversely near the bottom of the league against Wakefield next year. I'm only joking, won't be anything like that, but I hope.
Come on, Dan.
I'll probably give you way too. What's that, Mark?
We've not brought you down to our old senior level, have we? Do you know what I mean? Our negativity.
Hopefully, yeah, I'm on the positive tonight, mate. Yeah.
You're the positive.
I'm probably giving Wakey too much credit. Might not even be in the league next year, fortunately. So,
good chance.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, I'm looking forward to him because we've spoke with some of the phrases of George King on this podcast and all the minutes he's doing, even though he seems superhuman. They're going to come a time when his body starts breaking down if he does that too much. So I think Peters has already spoke about relieving the pressure off King, and that's going to be important for next year as well. And another thing is just injuries. Again, touching wood, if we're okay with injuries, then they can sort of balance each other's time out on the field. So, yeah, but I'm excited for him. I'm excited for all of them, but sort of as Mark alluded to, I think most of us were excited for the last 3 that came over. It's not worked out for various reasons, so touching wood, it'll be good.
Yeah, and when asked what he'll bring to Rovers' side, Jesse Sewell said, I'll bring a bit of leg speed in the middle, strong defence and some aggression with energy to lift the boys up during the games. James, I suppose that suggests he's not going to be a 70-minute player. He's probably going to be spelled, isn't he? And he's probably the player who's replacing Albert Vette, isn't it? And Albert Vette is a player that we hoped, you know, that's what he'd have been bringing. Obviously, it's not worked out, but Jesse Sewell coming over, bit more experienced, bit better injury record. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah, no, I think you know, I think early in the season we've commented on the sort of drop off that we've seen when the likes of King and Staunton go off after a fair stint. So to have somebody like Sue coming on to replace them potentially, or you know, vice versa, whichever way Peters goes, you know, that's hopefully going to mean we don't drop off that intensity, and you know, don't sort of lose a few points before halftime as we've been doing in a few games.
Definitely, and it, you know, it's almost gone under the radar a little bit, hasn't it, Matt? But you know, the fact we've been missing Matty Staughton has been so impressive this season, as he was last season. You know, it's devastating to lose such a player like him. And you know, we was all hoping after that Toulouse game it'd only be a short injury and he'd be back straight away, but it seems to be prolonged now. But he's another player, isn't he? He was just, you know, just been fantastic for Rovers, and yet, you know, here we are missing out on him once again.
Yeah, it was surprising, wasn't it, that he hadn't come back a little bit quicker, if I'm honest. He just dislocated his big toe, didn't he? So it's obviously a bad one, inflammation-wise. But yeah, he's a grafter, isn't he? He never gets pushed back. I do think we need to maybe sort his where he's going to play, because I don't think we still know, do we, what his best position is. I think the best I've seen him was when he played 13 for a while, maybe 10 games on the bounce. But obviously, I'm sure Elliot Minchella will have something to say about that and other players. So, yeah, I mean, we've got some really good young players, haven't we, who's played quite a lot of Super League games now. So hopefully for years to come, we'll have a real solid pack and quality. Yeah, Matty Stott, big fan of his. Yeah, massive.
Yeah, definitely. And another player who's going to be at Cramer Park next season is Dean Hadley. Dan, he signed a new one-year contract. Frustratingly, it looks like he's played his last game for the Robins this season. Shoulder injury. He's made 47 appearances for the Robins after signing on loan from the Black and Whites back in 2019. He's another player who spoke to Willie Peters already. Willie Peters heaped praise on the 29-year-old. The beauty of Dean is that he can play anywhere in the pack. He's the type of player who can give you 7 or 8 every week, and he's just incredibly consistent. Are you pleased to see him sticking around at Craven Park next season, Dan?
I am pleased, yeah. I remember being at the game against Wakefield when he slammed the ball down. He probably knew his day was done at that point then. And you heard some groans in the East Stand, you know, oh, he's injury prone, he might get rid of him, stuff like that. He's had his time and all that. But he's been a real, he's not been here too long in a way, you know, but still he's shown up so well for us when he has played, tough as teak and all that, when especially when you consider all the injuries he's gone through, not just here but at Wakey and all as well. So yeah, it's I am glad. I think with Dean Hadley, I can see him being more of a squad player, definitely even more so in 2023 than in 2022. That's just the way I view it anyway. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, James, he's you know, if we're all honest, if you named Rovers' strongest 13, Dean Hadley might be featuring there, maybe not. But what you would say is that whenever he does feature in the Rovers lineup, he never lets us down, does he?
No, he doesn't. And I think, yeah, you're right. You probably wouldn't be in your fair in your one in the opening 1-13. You'd probably put him on the bench. I mean, the bad luck he's had with injuries has just been absolutely horrendous. But you know, once he's on the field, like I say, he never lets us down. His power of recovery from injury just seems to be, I don't know, superhuman. You know, when last season he was supposed to be out with a broken cheekbone, he was supposed to be out for about 6-7 weeks or so, and he's back within 2 weeks with his Phantom of the Opera mask on. You know, it's tough as teak, and yeah, I think it deserves another year, and hopefully this operation is going to have on his shoulder will hopefully solve the problems he's been having with it. And we'll get some good game time from him next year, because, like I say, he never lets us down. Solid, you know, strong go forward. You know, hardly ever misses a tackle. So, yeah, definitely great, you know, type of player we'll need in the squad.
Yeah. And then just to round up, Rovers put out an injury update. Ryan Alls tore his calf in the win over Warrington. Looks like he's going to miss out for at least the next few weeks, if not longer. Michael Lewis went down in the final quarter of the game against Warrington. He had an unfortunate twist in the tackle. He's going to go for a scan later on in the week. Hopefully that's not too serious, but again, it looks like he might be out for the next few weeks. Like we've already mentioned, Albert Vettey, he's got an abscess. He's going to be vying for a place in Rover squad in the next couple of weeks. So again, he's another one who might not be back straight away. Frankie Holton, Matty Starton, could also be in contention for the Toulouse game. But again, there's nothing definite about that. Kane Lynette's edging closer. He's nearing full fitness. He'll be definitely a welcome addition to the side. John Abdul and Brad Sakarangi are training. You never know. They might feature come the end of the season. I suppose frustratingly, lads, and I don't know about you, one player who seems to be a constant omission from the Rovers injury update is Tom Garrett. And that's not necessarily because we want him to be playing this season. I don't know about you, Mark. I suppose we just want to know how he's doing.
Yeah, it's like Secret Service, isn't it? I mean, I just hope the kid's bang on, to be fair, and his health's more important than obviously us as supporters knowing what's happening. But it is a worry that it's so silent on him, you know. Maybe at the instant when he got it, after a couple of weeks, maybe said he was out for the season. And then you wouldn't be asking the question every couple of weeks, would we? Do you know what I mean? And maybe if it had come back 4 weeks from the end of the season, everybody's happy, aren't they? So maybe they got it wrong initially by maybe not being more, as honest as they maybe should be. But I just hope the kid gets well soon.
Yeah, especially James, after Tom put a post out, I think, on Twitter and Instagram saying he's back. And then after there, there seems to be nothing. And like I said, we're not clamouring to see Tom Garrett back in the side. We're clamouring to find out how he is.
Exactly. I think, you know, that's just the bizarre thing. You know, it is. I think we all want to make sure, you know, his health is as good as it can be. And we just want to make sure, you know, he's okay and he's not going to suffer any long-term impact. But by the same token, we still want to know potentially he's going to be back on the pitch as well. But at the end of the day, his health is more important and we need to... I think it'd just be good for the club to let us know what's happening and sort of, you know, stop this sort of any conjecture or sort of little bits appearing on social media, etc.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's Red Robin Podcast Weekly, and another one where I vowed to do it in under an hour, and yet again, it's not happened, especially when I didn't think there was that much to talk about, but, you know, it's always nicer to spend your time talking about a Rovers victory, isn't it, than it is a defeat. So maybe that's why we went a bit over more than I expected to do. This is the last podcast for a couple of weeks now because I fly out to IB from Thursday. So I'm very pleased that Sky have decided to reschedule their Rovers' next two games so that I can watch them while in sunshine. Hopefully when I return and we do the next Red Robin Podcast Weekly, we'll be talking about two victories for the Robins. That would be a very welcome present. Of course, before we head into that massive game against Leeds Rhinos, potentially. So I think the next podcast will be out on the 10th of August. Don't panic, though. There's plenty of heritage casts that you can keep up to date with. So make sure you go check them out. And as ever, thank you to Mark, James and Dan for joining me on this week's Red Robin Podcast Weekly. And remember, live, love, laugh and be happy.